Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you'd turn in your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, and I want to read verses 50 through 53, and then we're going to read the sister verses, what I call the sister verses that Dr. Luke wrote of the same scene over here in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9. So if you'll find Luke 24 and then put your finger there at Acts chapter 1, we'll read both of these. And I know we've been... Y'all just now sat down. I went out to eat with, y'all can tell by looking at me, I like to go out to eat. But I went out to eat with a couple, two couples this week, and I asked them what they liked and what they, you know, what we needed to do better at. And one of the things, one of the guys who's my age said, I think we stand too long. And I said, well, there's a seat right under. You can sit down anytime you want to. So I think everybody's got an opinion, amen? And Baptists are that way, all right? If you would stand one more time, as we, I want to invite you to stand if you can. If you can't, in honor of the reading of God's Word. Luke 24, verse 50. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them, now listen to this, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Say amen.
Amen.
And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. And the word amens itself. Amen. Now jump on over to Acts chapter 1. Same writer, Dr. Luke. This same scene and scenario. And Acts chapter 1 verse 9 says, now when he, the Lord Jesus, had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Isn't that great news today, church? Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Father, make this text real to our hearts. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. There are five historical facts that are inseparably linked together concerning the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is His incarnation, which we celebrated when? Christmas. Incarnation. All right? And then we celebrated at Easter crucifixion and resurrection. So you've got the incarnation, you've got the crucifixion, the resurrection, and then you've got two more, His ascension and His glorious exaltation. And it is the fourth of these tremendous historical facts of our wonderful Savior that I want to talk about this morning. The ascension. I preached on this subject several Sunday nights, been several months ago on Sunday night, but most of you all weren't there on Sunday night. Say amen. Y'all got to love me. You don't have the choice. You don't have to like me, but you do have to love me. But anyways, I've heard, you know, You hear a lot about the crucifixion, resurrection, incarnation. You have a lot of different books have been written about it. But I've only heard one sermon on the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's probably the greatest sermon I've ever heard. It's preached by Dr. Jerry Vines. And I'm using some of that, some of his stuff, but I'm using some of my stuff. But the main thing is that the Holy Spirit would bless all this stuff today and that we might hear from heaven. Now, it's the ascension of Jesus Christ, although it's not talked about a lot, it's not written about, it's not preached about a lot, it's not even sung about quite a lot, it is like finding an untapped mine of wealth. It's like finding an unexplored ocean of treasure, an unsurveyed galaxy of glory. Jesus, when he was here, the Bible says, did y'all know Jesus got homesick from time to time? And after he'd completed his Father's work, man, he's ready to go home. He's ready to go back to that world that he was from even before the world was. Lean in and wrap your mind around that. Now, listen to what John 6 and verse 62. I'm just setting the table right now. Listen to what John 6, 62 says. What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? And then John 7, 33, Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I go to him who sent me. And so Jesus from time to time was homesick to go back to glory. And so that's what we're looking at today is this tremendous truth, the ascension of Jesus Christ as he goes back to glory. Now, I believe if they had television cameras and iPhones and iPads back in the day, if they had social media and internet, the ascension of Jesus Christ would have been broadcast all over the planet. And I want to tell you, if I can get a little Holy Ghost help today, I want us to go back to the Mount of Olives. And I want us to experience the ascension of Jesus Christ. And Father, would you help us today? Make this real to our hearts. As Christians and believers, we really do believe in some supernatural events. And Lord, even as Jesus went back to heaven, one day he's leaving heaven and coming again. And so, Lord, make it real to our hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to just give you two quick truths on your sermon outline today. There was an exit from this world. There was an exit from this world. Y'all know what an exit is, right? Some of y'all are looking for one right now. There was an exit from this world. Listen to what Dr. Luke says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them. Jesus led his disciples outside of that little village, Bethany, to the slopes of the... They were standing there on the slopes of the Mount of Olives as he was giving the last marching instructions to his followers. Last words he ever spoke up on the Mount of Olives outside of Bethany, one of his favorite places to go, I believe. He had finished the work that the Father had given him to do. He had completed what God sent him here to do. He had put his resurrection foot on death. He had reconciled an outraged world, rather an outraged heaven to a rebellious world. He had done what the Father... And so it was time for him to go home. He had completed everything. There was nothing else that was left to do. And suddenly, the strongest... Have you got this picture in your mind now? All the followers of Jesus, the disciples are up on the Mount of Olives. And all of a sudden, the strongest law in the universe, the law of gravitation, was broken, relaxed, suspended. to let go free the Son of Man. That law that keeps the sun in its place, the law of gravitation, the law that holds those stars into place, that law that keeps the planets whirling around the sun, that law that holds on to the stars tonight, that law couldn't hold the bright in the morning star. That law that keeps the sun in its place could not keep the Son of Righteousness from arising with healing in His wings. And so all of a sudden, this law of gravitation was broken, and Jesus begins to ascend up in the air, in the clouds. The Gaither Vocal Band used to sing a song, and I don't remember the name of it, but there was a line in it, and I think I've told you all this before, but there's a line in it that says, "Learning to live, learning to die, and one of these days, I'm going to learn to fly." If you're a child of God, we believe some supernatural, miraculous stuff. And so Jesus begins to ascend from this world. There was an exit that He left. There was an exit. And let me say this. Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 says that a cloud received Him up out of their sight. So He ascends. Y'all ever seen the space shuttle take off? Remember those launches of the space shuttle? Hello, y'all. The space shuttle will take off and it starts up, big explosion of light and heat and power, and it goes up. And the faster it goes, the smaller it gets, and the faster and smaller until eventually it goes out of sight. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about here with the Lord Jesus. He ascended back to heaven from this world. And then eventually a cloud comes to get Him. I was driving yesterday. We had our family reunion out at the campground yesterday, and there was this huge cloud in the sky. And I wonder if Jesus is on that cloud, because He's coming again on the clouds. And this cloud, I believe, now I could, a lot of scholars would probably want to debate this, but I believe this cloud that received Him was the same Shekinah cloud of glory that guided and guarded the Israelites through their wilderness wanderings. The chariot of deity came and took the Lord where He was before the world was. And by the way, it was time for Him to go. And it was expedient that He had to go. And it was to our advantage that He had to go. Did you know that? Oh, listen to this. Somebody's going to get this in just a moment. Listen to what John 7:39 says. John 7:39. "But this He spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in Him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." And then John 16:7 takes it a step further. Listen to what the Word of God says in John 16:7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you." So the wonderful gift of the ascension gift, really, of the Lord to us is the Holy Spirit. And if Jesus did not go away, the Holy Spirit could not come. So you see, it was to our advantage that He go away. And how many of you know that anything God's doing in this dispensation is being done by the power and the presence and the person of the Holy Spirit of God? Hallelujah for that ascension gift, the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of the Lord Jesus that lives within us and reigns and rules over us and is here today. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. But guess what? There's even more. There's another ascension gift that God gave to His church. Are y'all with me? You want to know what this other gift is? It's going to blow you away. Look at Ephesians. Y'all know where Ephesians is? Ephesians 4. I like this. Ephesians 4 I promise you, I'll find it here in a second. Galatians, Ephesians, there it is. Philippians 4. Verse 8 says, therefore, Ephesians 4, 8 says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Did y'all hear that? Now look at verse 10. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And so you may not have understood this, but the ascension gift of the Lord Jesus to his bride, to his church, were gifted men. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Let me just take it a step further and just tell you, whoever your pastor is God's gift to the church. Now, I've got to admit this. God wraps his gifts in unusual wrappings. Some of y'all probably think, well, we got the gag gift. I thank God for God's gift to the church. Man, I am so thankful for John David Lyda. I am so thankful for Dennis Newkirk. And what a blessing Roger Freeman was and is to my life. I'm so thankful for the men of God. I'm so grateful for James Merritt and Johnny Hunt and Junior Hill. And I'm thankful for the men that God has placed, Adrian Rogers. I'm so thankful for John Phillips and Warren Wiersbe. So grateful for all of these wonderful pastors and preachers and teachers that God's put in my life. So grateful for Billy Graham. So grateful for John R.W. Stott. So thankful for Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And oh my goodness, God has gifted the church with these gifted men, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. Oh, thank God for His gift. And I want to tell you, the hope of this nation is not in Washington, D.C. It is not in some new politician. It's not in some new president. It is in the pulpits of America when God's gifted men get up to preach an ascended Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I could go on and talk a little bit more about God's gifts, but we need to move on. Get this scene down your head. You're up on the Mount of Olives, just outside this little village of Bethany. And all of a sudden, Jesus begins to rise. He's already blessed them, and He begins to rise. And Acts chapter 1 and verse 11 gives us, you know, a little bit more insight. The Bible says that the disciples were gazing steadfastly at the Lord as He rose before they could see Him, before that cloud hid their view. In the Greek language, that literally means they were stretching their eyeballs out. Can't you see old Simon Peter? Oh, Lord! There He goes. He's the only one that could do anything with me. What am I going to do now? He's gone. And all those disciples were, I'm sure, filled with thoughts of encouragement. Some were probably anxious. But then came that amazing announcement from those two angelic men. Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen Him go into heaven. And I want to tell you, that news set the disciples on fire. 10 days later, when the Holy Spirit fell, those disciples turned the world upside down for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah! They live looking for that blessed hope in the appearance of the glory in our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Tell your neighbor, there was an exit from this world. I'm so thankful for the gift, the ascension gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a second thing we need to jump on here, though. There was not only an exit from this world, there was an entrance into another world. Say, oh my. Now the cloud received him up. And the disciples couldn't see what was taking place on the other side of that cloud. But bless God, the inspired Word of God tells us, gives us some pieces and bits of information. Ephesians 10, 4 and verse 10 says, He ascended above all the heavens that He might fill all things. Up, up, up He goes through the first heavens where the birds fly and the clouds float. Up into the second heavens where the Milky Way galaxy and innumerable stars are and the planets. And then finally up into the third heavens of heaven itself where God resides, where God is. And 1 Peter 3:22 declares that when Jesus got back to heaven, He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, where He now has authority over angels and powers and authorities. All of them have been made subject unto Him. And so what an astounding... I'm really going to upset some of your theology right now. When Jesus talked about going home, He always described Himself as the Son of Man. Son of Man. Now when Jesus left heaven and came down to earth, He came as Son of God. And when He was in that little manger scene, He was just as much God as He was man. Come on now. But when He went back to heaven, He went not only as Son of God, but Son of Man. What an amazing, astounding concept that is. Came down as Son of God and went back to heaven as man God. And there is a glorified humanity on the throne in heaven tonight, today. There's a glorified man in heaven. And you're going to see that glorified man one day if you belong to Him. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5 says, For there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I want to tell you there, and you know what He's doing up there right now? He is my advocate. Bless God, when Satan accuses me, Jesus stands in my defense. Woo! And then He is interceding on my behalf. You see, He acquired my salvation on the cross, and He is maintaining my salvation with His intercessory prayer ministry. You got somebody in heaven praying for you, and His name is Jesus. Y'all, I'm preaching halfway decent this morning. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus today, right now, is sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Bible tells us that He is Lord of the universe. How many of you know He's Lord? And Philippians 2 verses 9 and 10 says that there is coming a day every knee will bow of those in heaven, of those on earth, and of those under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now, Hebrews 2:8 says that we are living right now in the not yet. While everything has already been made subject unto Him, while He is Lord of the universe, one day everybody and everything and everyone's going to recognize Him as Lord. I want to ask you a question today. Is He the Lord of your life? I believe in Lordship salvation. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. Romans 14:9 says that He died, was buried, and He rose again that He might be Lord of both the living and the dead. Jesus has been crowned Lord. In heaven, has He been crowned as Lord in your heart of hearts? I told this story last Sunday at our sunrise service. And if you were there and you heard it, you've probably forgotten it, so I'm going to tell it again. I love Dr. Stephen Olford. I love to hear his stories. He grew up over in South Africa in that culture there. His folks were on the mission field. And Dr. Olford tells his story about this fellow in this tribe by the name of Dazi. Now, in this particular village, the chief had just died. And the tribe needed a chief. And so you had about four or five men running to be the new chieftain of the tribe. And Dazi was one of those men. And so about four of his opponents began to question his love for the tribe. And on election day, all of the people who were running to be the new chieftain got up to speak. And Dazi was the last one to get up. And he said, "Some of you, my opponents, have questioned my love for the tribe." And he began to recount the day the leopard had invaded his village and had killed. He had killed several of the villagers until Dazi had run out of his tent and grabbed that leopard by the head, crushing the skull of that leopard with his own hands. While he was doing that, that leopard made mincemeat of his hands and his arms. He was maimed. He had nubs for hands and arms. And rather dramatically, Dazi raised those wounds, those nubs, and said, "These are the tokens of my love. And in the name of my wounds, I demand the right to be your leader." And the tribe broke out in unison, jumping up and down, all in one voice said, "Dazi is our leader. Dazi is our leader. Dazi is our leader." Do you remember what Dr. Luke said? Before Jesus ascended back to heaven, he raised those nail-scarred hands and said, "These are the tokens of my love. If I had not faced death for you, I would not love you. Oh, but in the name of my wounds, I demand the right to be your Lord." I want to tell you, Jesus has been crowned in heaven, but has He been crowned in your heart of hearts? Is He the Lord of your life? Is He numero uno? Has He got top priority in your life? He deserves to be Lord. What do you think the celebration was like when Jesus got back to heaven? David, writing 1,000 years before this, was able to see a little something. Jesus shows up at the gates of glory on that cloud, that angelic cloud, and says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." And Jesus came marching in. I love to hear the King is coming. Brother Bill Morris used to sing that when I was a kid growing up. And I love to hear the King is coming down here. Well, what do you think it was like when they sang it up there? The King is coming. And the King came marching in. Angels, thousands and thousands of angels lined Old Glory Road and Beulah Boulevard and singing, "Oh Lord, we're so glad you're back. We sure have missed you. You've been gone 33 years. It just hadn't been heaven without you, Lord." And they're cheering and celebrating and just lifting, making much of Jesus. But there was a far more precious reception than that. Do you see that? Jesus marches up Hallelujah Boulevard and around Amen Square and up to the throne. And the Father stands up and steps down. Says, "What are these wounds in thy hands, my son?" And Jesus replies, "They which I was wounded in the house of my friends." And the Father grabs the son and pulls him to his bosom and announces to a redeemed universe, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Hallelujah. 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 And then the angelic choirs
Bible talks about angelic choirs. Don't give up on the choirs just yet. There's going to be angel choirs in glory. I've told y'all I'm going to sing with the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir when I get to glory. They're going to let me sing with them. But here, can't you imagine, can't you hear it now? They're breaking out in that wonderful anthem that heaven sings. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wealth and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Hallelujah. There's a little boy. You know, I don't see, do they still teach children how to fly kites? Do they? I guess I'm so old, I just don't see it anymore. But there's a little boy who was flying his kite. It was real windy that day, but the kite finally got up in the air. And then he got so high up in the air, it got out of sight. But this little boy just maintained he had a kite, and he held on tight. And then this older gentleman comes by there in the park, and he looks at that boy, and he said, "Son, what do you got up there?" The little boy said, "Well, I've got a kite up there." The old man said, "How you know you got a kite, son? I can't see a kite up there." The little boy said, "Oh, sir, I can't see it, but I can feel the pull." Do you feel the pull of your Savior from time to time? I don't know what's happening, Billy, but I don't know. Maybe I'm going to Him real soon, or maybe He's coming for me real soon. Oh, just a few more days to be filled with praise and to tell the old, old story. And when twilight falls and the Savior calls, we'll go to Him in glory. Would you just bow your head with me? What we just read this morning tells us that Jesus is coming again. And He's coming just the way He left. He's coming on a cloud. And when He comes, He's going to receive His own and take them to be where He is. John 14. And some of you today are ready, should it be this afternoon. You're ready. But some of you in here today are not ready. You are not ready should Jesus come. And you'll be left behind because you have not crowned Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords of your life. If you'd be willing today to pray, doesn't have to be some fancy prayer. Thief on the cross said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." If you'd be willing to turn from your sin and by faith trust Christ and Him alone for your salvation, He will save you right where you sit. My friend, He'll save you today right here. But you say, He's a gentleman. He's not going to crash the door of your heart down. He's not going to come bust in. He has to be invited in. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "As many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the sons, the children of God." If you're not sure about your salvation, here's what I'd do if I were you. Right where you sit, right where you're sitting, just pray a simple prayer like this. "Lord," that's right, pray it in your heart. "Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I've broken your commandments. I've not lived up to your standard. But I believe Jesus took my place, took my punishment on that old cross 2,000 years ago. And Lord, I believe that your Son is alive today. I invite you and receive you today as my Lord and Savior. I don't know how much time I've got left, but I'm yours. Thank you for saving me right here today." If you prayed that way this morning, I want you to do something. Today, if you really prayed and asked God to save you for the first time, I want you to just stand to your feet. Are you bold enough? Do you love the Lord enough? Would you just stand to your feet? Nobody's looking around. Everybody's got their head bowed and their eyes closed. God bless you. I see you standing over here. Anybody else? Anybody else? Just stand quietly to your feet. I want to pray for you and give you some instruction. Anybody else? Look right up here at me, ma'am. You know God loves you. There isn't anything you can do to make Him love you any more than He does right now. And my Bible tells me that it's time to take a public stand for what God's done for you. Are you ashamed of Jesus? No. He's not ashamed of you either. He died publicly for you. And He rose again for you. And in just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of response, hymn of invitation. And I've got some stuff I want to put in your hands and get your contact information. And I am so thankful for your decision this morning to trust Christ. Let me pray over you. And then you just come as we start singing and I'll get this stuff to you, okay? Yes, just right up here. Father, bless this sweet lady. Thank you that she has bold enough to come to Jesus today. And she's taking her stand for Christ right now. Thank you for her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.